Good morning, Lansing. It's Saturday, and the time is 11:06. The pet experts are in the building, and it's time for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Now, your hosts, Lee Cohen and Rick Pruse.
Welcome, pet keepers. We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. On this episode, we've got a couple of interesting changes that are going to be taking place. First of all, I'm your host, Lee Cohen, but my usual co-host, Rick Pruse, is not here. He's left the studio to go to a conference. So sitting in the Rick Pruse chair, I have Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennels. Welcome to the studio, Mike.
Good morning, Lee.
Oh, we appreciate having you in here. And our topic today is going to be the issue of dog breeding. And we've got a couple of breeders in the studio with us. First of all, we've got Carol Bergman returning to the studio from Darbydale Kennels. Welcome back, Carol.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Pauline Mortier from Lubberline Kennel Labradors. Welcome to the studio, Pauline.
Morning, Lee.
Well, we appreciate your coming in. The reason I wanted to bring up this topic is in conversations we've had, Mike, in the past when you've been in here, we've talked about the degree to which you had to travel to foreign countries in order to buy the dogs that you needed for certain roles. I guess to begin, why don't you share with our listeners who may not have heard some of your previous visits, tell them about what you go through in order to find dogs that you train.
Well, if I could get a dollar for the question I'm asked the most when out speaking is, why do you have to go all the way overseas to buy a good German Shepherd or a Malinois? And my stat answer for that is just simply because they still breed for work over there. They're not breeding for aesthetics and for show. They've been doing it for centuries, breeding the German Shepherd for working lines. And they put a little more thought into it sometimes as far as the genetics go, as far as the hips and the spine and the elbows and the temperament of the dog and its drives. And it's not that there's not good breeders here in the U.S. It's just that still in Europe, especially Eastern Europe, for me, I'm still finding good quality working lines over there for the breeds I need to use for my my roles.
Well, and you've mentioned that the early socialization that takes place of those animals makes a difference as well, because in Europe, correct me if I'm wrong, but dogs pretty much are allowed to go anywhere and do anything. So their exposure to human beings and human behaviors are dramatically more enhanced than you would find in the U.S., where I get a nasty look if I take my dog to an outdoor fair. So I got to imagine that makes a difference.
Absolutely. You see them on the trains, you see them on a bus, you see them in restaurants and shops. Saturday's a big shopping day in Europe where all the local city markets are just packed with people doing their shopping on Saturday mornings. And out of 10 people walking through the market, 7 or 8 will have their dog with them. And the dogs aren't barking at each other or growling, or there's none of the shenanigans going on. It's just the way life is. And I've been around this since I was a little yapper, and I'm used to it. And that's key for me when I get them back here as young adults to put them to work. I don't have to worry about environmental or social issues.
Right. Well, talking about breeding for show, I guess we'll begin, Carol, with a question for you. For people who don't remember, we had you in here back during Westminster because you actually, with your Newfoundlands, had achieved the pinnacle of success with Josh, who happened to win Best in Show at Westminster back in 2004. So I guess I'll ask you the question, was Josh bred for show or did you just get lucky?
Well, it's a combination. I think, first and foremost, each breed has its own ideal standard that's written by the parent club. And actually, all dogs are supposed to look like that one ideal. And it just varies with people's objective viewpoints on what they want for the breed. But all the dogs are supposed to be bred a certain way for working or for showing. They have to be able to withstand the work they need to do for that breed, and that goes along with the showing. You know, form follows function, and they have to be able to do what they were bred for. Now, you know, most of the Newfoundlands these days don't go out swimming and life-saving and do things like that, but they have to be able to function.
Right.
So usually you should start with that as your standard, as what you breed for. And then you can go on to some of the pleasing things that you like in the breed, and that's where the differences come in the dogs.
Okay.
Or the breeder's differences.
And Pauline, how do you go about breeding your dogs? I mean, is it about the show, or is it about more the functionality that you're breeding for with the Labradors?
The Labrador originally is not an American breed. It evolved from a water dog in Newfoundland, picked up by the Brits. And in Britain, the Labrador was bred to be a gentleman's companion, so that on the weekend you can take the dog out for a hunt. They called it picking up. And at the end of the day, they come home to the family. They are to be a family dog with a temperament that is trustworthy at all times. So for me, temperament is first. Secondly, soundness. They have to be able to pass certain tests that, like the Newfoundland and the Portuguese water dog, that they are a hunter and retriever as well. So I combine temperament, soundness, and of course they have to have brains.
Well, and I would imagine that that is an important ingredient, because early on these dogs do have to be socialized, and a lot goes into getting them ready for the showing and what you're going to do with them. Mike, how early should these dogs really be brought in and started to be obedience trained? Because my experience with, as I've talked about on the show, I have Australian Shepherds, and we started obedience training at, I want to say, 3 or 4 months. And it was amazing the difference that that made in turning a dog into a phenomenal pet, because he was trained at such a young age and has pretty much followed and stayed in line with that obedience training ever since. And it's been years.
When I get a call from people, just get a new puppy, or I get an email that says, hey, we just got a new 8-week old, whatever the breed, and you know, we want to know when we can start the classes. And my advice is socialize, socialize, socialize. I've talked about that primary imprinting phase from 8 to 12 weeks of age. The dog needs to be exposed to as many people, environments, and situations as you can. But more importantly, it has to be a positive exposure, because that's going to stay with the dog for the rest of its life. So you got that first 8 to 12 weeks of socialize, socialize, socialize. 12 to 16 weeks, you should still continue that. 16 to 20 is the secondary imprinting phase in the dog's life, as far as getting a second chance at some of the stuff that maybe you missed with it the first time. Formal obedience training, I think, we don't let dogs in classes till about 4.5, 5 months, simply because the dog is not mature enough really at that point to start with that really rigorous sit, heel, down, stay. You can play with it while they're growing up and work with it a little bit. But it's, in my opinion, it's like sending a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old to karate classes. They're going to get... they're going to be able to go through the motions and mimic what they're seeing and doing, but they really understand what they're being taught. And so I like to see an owner get their money's worth and start the dog at about 4.5, 5 months, to where by the time we're finished with an 8-week set of classes, that dog is 6, 7 months old, and you've really got a good foundation. But the front end of that is the socializing. And socializing doesn't mean put the dog in the car and take it to Quality Dairy to get a gallon of milk and go home. You got to get them out to the kids' soccer games and the baseball fields and, you know, how 4th of July parade and all that kind of stuff.
Interesting. We're having a conversation this morning about dog breeding here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And after the break, we're going to continue the conversation, and we're going to get into a little bit about showing and judging, as well as the actual profession of breeding dogs, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.